We'll turn now to God's Word, and the first reading, it's in Matthew's Gospel, and it's in chapter 14, commencing at verse 22. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, starting at verse 22, and then we'll be turning over to Mark's Gospel 6. Matthew's chapter 14, starting at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And then just over into Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, and at verse 46. Just three little verses there. Verse 36 at Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. And when he had sent them away, that's the Lord Jesus, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. God add his blessing to his word. Well, friends, I want to look at this account when the disciples, they went across the Sea of Galilee, and with Peter walking on the water. And this account, it came, didn't it, after that great miracle, a tremendous miracle that the Lord did, the feeding of the multitude, the feeding of the 5,000. And so after they'd been fed, the Lord Jesus, he had fed that multitude. We read, don't we? He made them. Immediately Jesus, in verse 22 of Matthew's Gospel 14, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And the Lord Jesus, he went up into the mountain to pray alone, as he often did. And you know, the disciples, when they got into the boat, Sea of Galilee, everything was calm, wasn't it? It was all fine. But then suddenly, when they're in the middle of the sea, we read in verse 24, suddenly a storm came up. You know, on the Sea of Galilee, storms, they can come up very suddenly, aren't they, on the Sea of Galilee. We've certainly seen a lot of storms, haven't we, recently here in this country. But a storm came up suddenly. And now the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And you know, the Sea of Galilee is about 4 to 7.5 miles wide. So they're in the middle of the sea, so they were at least 2 miles out, weren't they? You know, so a long way out from shore. But you know, that reminds us, doesn't it? Everything was fine when they started out. They didn't know the storm was going on. Sure, if they knew that this great storm was going to come, they wouldn't have ventured out across the sea, would they? They would have stayed put, wouldn't they? And that reminds us, isn't it? Like life can be like that. You know, everything can go fine and go calm, and everything goes swimming along, no problems or anything. And then suddenly, something happens. A storm breaks, isn't it? We hit a problem. You know, everything go fine. But you know, we have troubles, don't we, in life? We all do. If we haven't got troubles now, we're going to get them sometime. Because life's like that. You know, in the book of Job, it says, man is born to trouble, as surely as sparks fly upward. And the storms of life, they come, isn't it? You know, we never know, do we? That's why in Proverbs it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for we do not know what a day may bring forth. We don't know what's going to happen, do we? You know, we can everything go fine, and we have that telephone call or a letter, and it changes everything, doesn't it? We never know. You know, that's why it's important, isn't it, that we're right with God. We need to make sure we don't know, do we? We don't know how long we're going to live, do we? None of us know, do we? Our life can end suddenly. You know, we need to make sure, don't we? We don't know what lies ahead. God knows everything. We need to make sure we're right with him. And so the disciples, they went right into this storm, didn't they? And we read, don't we, that the wind was contrary, wasn't it? Against them. And they were rowing. And when you're rowing against a wind, it's hard work, isn't it? It's just like if you're running, you know, the wind, you know, running against the wind. If you've got the wind behind you, it's easy to run, isn't it? But if you've got the wind in your face, it's hard work. And he reminds us, Jacob, you know, Jacob, he had storms and problems. And Jacob, you know, he thought his son had died, Joseph. And in fact, what happened, Joseph's brothers, they had sold Joseph as a slave, hadn't they? And he'd gone down into Egypt. But Jacob, he thought his son was dead. And then there'd been a famine. And he'd sent his brothers off to get food. But then they'd had to leave behind one of their brothers. And they'd been told that they had to take their younger brother. And Jacob, he just thought, I'm going to lose, you know, my other son. I'm going to lose another son. He thought, I've already lost one son, Joseph. Now I'm going to face losing another son. And he said, all these things are against me. Everything against me. Because we know that God had a great purpose. And it wasn't as if he thought it was going to be, wasn't it? And everything worked out wonderfully. But you know, as you think, you know, these disciples, they sailed into this storm. You know, we can ask, why do storms and problems come? You know, we can face storm problems, can't we? You know, maybe a health problem, serious health problems, isn't it? A lot of people are facing that. We never know, do we? A financial problem, debt problem, a marriage problem, relationship problem. You know, all sorts of problems, isn't it? A problem with employment. That's a very stressful job. But why do storms and problems come in life? Well, you know, sometimes we're the author of our own problems, aren't we? Sometimes when we get problems and a storm comes, it is us, isn't it? It is our own fault, isn't it? You know, we can live how we want to, can't we? But, you know, we can't choose the consequences. You know, people say, well, enjoy my sin. And yes, sin can be enjoyable. People wouldn't sin, would they, if there was no enjoyment in sin? The Bible talks about the pleasures of sin. But it's for a season. It's for a season. And sin always brings a cost. It always brings pain. And the cost is always greater than what we ever realise. And you know, we think of people where they brought problems. We think of Jonah. Jonah, God wanted Jonah. He told Jonah to go to Nineveh. But Jonah didn't want to go. He went in the opposite direction. And what happened? He went into that boat, didn't he? And sailing for Joppa, but then a great storm arose, wasn't it? And that was because of Jonah's disobedience, wasn't it? That storm. And what an awful problem that Jonah got into. In Hosea, it says, isn't it? You know, we sow the wind, we'll reap the whirlwind, isn't it? We do that. You know, if we go our own way, if we turn our back upon God and think, yes, I want to do it my way and go my own way, we're going to run into problems sooner or later. You know, everything might seem okay now, but if we go our own way, we will run into problems. And sometimes the storms that we meet in life, sometimes it's our own fault, isn't it? We're the author of our own problems. But not always. It's not always because of sin, is it? If storm. You know, sometimes God allows it. I mean, God's always ultimately in control. And you think here, you know, these disciples, they hadn't done anything wrong. You know, the Lord, he had told them, hadn't he? He made them get into the boat to go to the other side. This is what the Lord wanted. And he knew about that storm. So they hadn't done anything wrong. And we think of people like Job in the Bible. You know, Job, how he lost his family, was wiped out. And he kept his wife, but she didn't support him either, did she really? She said, oh, curse God and die. And lost his property and everything. And then he was covered in boils. And what awful problems that he had. But it was a test, wasn't it? And in the end, isn't it? You know, he came out strong in his faith. You know, we think of the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul, wasn't it? He was on that ship. He told him, look, not to, you know, to stay put, but they ignored the Apostle Paul's advice. And because of that, there was a storm, wasn't it? And so, you know, sometimes when we hit storms and problems in life, it's not because necessarily that we've done anything wrong. It's not necessarily because of sin in our life, though sometimes it may be. But you know, when we have storms and problems in our life, it often it's to test and strengthen our faith. You see, it shows, doesn't it, whether our Christian faith is real and genuine. It's easy to be a Christian when everything's going well. But you know, we get the problems, difficult. You know, it gets more difficult in this country, but it's nothing, is it? You think of somewhere like North Korea or China, a Muslim country, and even Muslims in this country, if they're converted, become, you know, their life can be in danger for their family, and they can totally cut off. When I was up in East Anglia, somebody on the team, you know, he was from a Jehovah's Witness background, and he became a Christian. And his parents, they didn't really want to know him, you know, because he'd become a Christian. But, you know, when we have these storms, it will test and strengthen our faith to show it's real. You know, it's like a tea bag. Someone says, you know, a tea bag, it's no good, is it, a tea bag, until it's been through hot water. And, you know, when we know the reality of our Christian faith, isn't it? When we go for those deep waters, those problems. But, you know, storms as well, when we have storms and problems, it is to get our attention. You know, so often when everything's going well, we can forget about God. And only people in this world, in this country, this materialistic country of ours in the Western world, people, they don't want to know about God because they're self-satisfied. They think, I've got everything I want. I don't need anything. I don't need God. Why do I need Jesus? Why do I need the Bible? But, you know, if suddenly told, well, you've only got 6 months to live, or problems, then suddenly people start to think about things. Just like I said about the person I met in Trowbridge, you know, a friend of his committed suicide, and made him think, it made him open. You know, C.S. Lewis, the one who wrote the Narnia books, he said this: God whispers to us in our pleasures, he speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts to us in our pain. It is his megaphone to a deaf world. Yes, God shouts to us in our pain. You see, when we got problems, when we're up against it, we cry, isn't it? You know, often people, you know, sometimes I'm an atheist, don't believe in God, and yet sometimes they're in danger, and they cry out, don't they, to God. You know, someone said, there's no atheists on a battlefield. You know, is it Dunkirk? And there, many of the soldiers there, were blaspheming, they had no time for God, but many of them, they were there on their knees, crying out because they were afraid, they were facing death in the face. And it does, it focuses the mind, because people say, well, there's no God, but they know deep down really that there is a God. We know that, but people deny it, don't they? You know, it's like the illustration, thinking of C.S. Lewis. It's C.S. Lewis, you know, it's like the policeman, you know, a thief. If you ask the thief, can you find me a policeman? You know, that thief, he wouldn't want to find a policeman, would he? Why? Because he knows that he'd be in trouble. He's got that guilty conscience. And that's why many people, they don't really want to find God, because they know deep down that they're guilty. You know, there's no God. I can block God out of my mind. I can live how I want to. I'm not accountable to anybody. But, you know, it doesn't change anything. There is a God. And, you know, God, when we get problems and a crisis, it's often that is the turning point that will cause people, isn't it, to turn to the Lord, to turn to the Lord Jesus. You know, but early in the year, I was up in Liverpool on a team event, and there was a dear lady there, lady in her 50s. And she'd become a Christian some years ago. But it was through, she found her husband had been unfaithful. He went off and he married someone else, and she was brokenhearted. But through that, she cried out to the Lord, and she was saved, and she was born again. You know, and so often people have had a crisis, haven't they, where they've turned to the Lord. You know, we think of the Philippian jailer in Acts 16. You know, the Apostle Paul and Silas are in prison. They've been beaten up for their Christian faith, and they're in chains. But they were singing, weren't they? They were praying. And what a witness that was, even in those circumstances. And then there was a mighty earthquake, and their chains came off. And the prison, the jailer, he thought, you know, in an earthquake, he thought the prisoners had escaped. And as a jailer, in those days, you were responsible. And if they escaped, that meant death. And so he was going to commit suicide. And But then the Apostle Paul called out to himself, do yourself no harm, we're all here. And through that Philippian jailer, through that crisis situation, he came, didn't he? He put his trust in the Lord Jesus. He asked that question, what must I do to be saved? And the Apostle Paul said this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. I think of John Newton. You know John Newton, that slave ship captain, a cruel man, blaspheming, cruel slave ship captain. But then he was on a ship one day and there was a terrible storm. And he was frightened. It was a really awful storm and he was frightened that he was going to die. And he cried out for God's mercy. But he thought, I don't deserve God's mercy, when he realised about his sin. But it was through that storm and started to make him think. He started to realise, he thought, I need to get right with God. And that man was wonderfully converted. And he was transformed. He was born again. And you know, he wrote many hymns. The most famous and well-known hymn, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I wonder, do you know that amazing grace in your life? And so, you know, these are some of the reasons, aren't they, why we get storms and problems in our life. And, you know, God wants to get our attention. And, you know, about those disciples, as they were in that storm, struggling. You know, about to say, but why did the Lord? He's left us. He's up. He's gone away, gone up into the mountain. We're here on our own. Isn't he bothered? But you know, the Lord hadn't forgotten. He knew. The Lord knows everything because the Lord Jesus, he was God. God in the flesh. You can't understand it. But that's who the Lord Jesus is. And he did see them, didn't he? Because we read in Mark's Gospel chapter 6, and when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea and he was alone on the land. When the Lord Jesus, then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. You see, the Lord saw them. The Lord hadn't forgotten them. The Lord sees us. He sees you. And it's a wonderful thing and a comfort. You know, the Lord knows all about us. He sees your sorrows. Sees my sorrows. Those things that hurt you. He sees every heartbreak. You know, in Exodus, like in the Old Testament, you know that Hebrews, they were slaves in Egypt and they'd been cruelly treated by the Egyptian taskmasters because they thought God had forgotten them. But you know, God hadn't. And God sent a deliverer. He sent Moses, didn't he, to set them free. And as God called Moses to go to Pharaoh, to tell Pharaoh to let the Hebrews go, you know, God said this to Moses. He said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. You see, he had seen it, and he'd heard their cry, and he knows their sorrows. But you know, not only does he see our sorrows, but he understands. Think of that lovely hymn, is it? No one understood me like Jesus, and no one will understand us like the Lord Jesus. He understands us more than anyone else because he knows us through and through, because he's God. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, that he understands our sorrow. You know, the Bible tells us that we have a high priest, you know, who is touched with our infirmities, not someone who doesn't understand. He was tempted by us, like us. You know, he knew what it was to suffer, to have pain, but yet he was without sin. He was perfect. And so we have a compassionate high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows our sorrows. He knows our pain. He knows our tears. You know, Psalm 56 verse 8 says, you number my wanderings. You put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? You know, in Psalm 102 verses 19 and 20, it says this, for he, that's God, he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven, the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death. Yes, he sees our sorrows, but you know, he also as well, the Lord, as he saw the disciples struggling, he also sees our sins. And you know, it's a solemn thing. You know, God, he knows everything about you and me. He knows everything that you and I have ever done. We cannot hide anything from God. You know, we can hide things from our nearest and dearest, our best friend, but we cannot hide anything from God. God knows us through and through. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. You know, we hear miscarriages of justice. But you know, there's no miscarriages, there's just this, as far as God is concerned. You know, you think of someone like Fred West, an awful murderer, and he took his life, and people say, well, he didn't face justice, got away with it. But he didn't get away with it. He didn't get away. We can't get away with God's justice. The Bible says it's appointed once a man to die, but after this, the judgment. The Bible says that all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must deal with, to whom we must give account. So everything that you and I have ever done or said or thought, God sees everything. People often commit crimes, don't they? They do wicked things under cover of darkness. Why? Because they think no one sees them. Sometimes they're caught on CCTV. But even if they're not, God sees. The Bible says that even the darkness, in Psalm 139, it's just like light. It says light to God. We cannot hide anything. God sees all things. The Bible says that God will bring every work into judgment, whether good or evil, including every secret thing. There's nothing secret that won't be uncovered. That's a solemn thought, isn't it? And that's why we need to make sure that we're right with God. Because, you know, otherwise we'd have to face God's judgment. And so he sees our sins. But, you know, the Lord Jesus, we're going back to this, up on the mountain, he saw the disciples, he saw them struggling. Did he just stay there? He didn't. He went to them. He personally went. You know, the Lord, he didn't send an angel, but he went himself. Lord Jesus Christ, he came down from the mountain. And you know, that reminds me that the Lord Jesus Christ, he did more than just come down from the mountain. He made a greater stoop than that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he left the glory of heaven to come down to this broken, sin-sick world. The Bible says that though he were rich, yet for our sakes, he became poor. Yes, Lord Jesus, he gave up everything. He gave up the glory of heaven and he came down. He came down. He came down to tread. He became that man of sorrows. He knew what it would be. He would tread that sorrowful path. We read that he was hated without cause. People hated him. People hated him. They didn't want to know him, though he went about doing good. Because the Lord Jesus, he exposed sin in people's life. And the Lord Jesus came, didn't he? Knowing that he would face the cross. That's the reason why he came. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven. You know, it wasn't that long ago, was it? It was some anniversary, was it 1969, was it? A man walked on the moon. And, you know, about a couple of those astronauts, they were Christians. And one of them said, you know, more important, you know, Jesus walking on the earth was more important than man walking on the moon. You know, and there was it one step for man, one giant step for mankind. But what a greater step it was for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to leave the glory of heaven, to come down to this earth. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he came down from that mountain, didn't he? And he went on the sea, walked on the sea. That sea was no barrier to him reaching the disciples. And you know, that reminds us that our sin, even though we're in rebellion against God, and our sin, we had no time for God, our sin did not stop the Lord Jesus Christ coming down. You know, Isaiah 53 verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Yes, our sin was no barrier to the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world. What a good thing that it wasn't. You know, Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't come for good people. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Lord Jesus Christ, it said he came, didn't it? It was the fourth watch of a night. It was divided into watches. And the fourth watch, that would have been the early hours of the morning, from about between 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. But the darkest hours, someone says that the darkest hour is before the dawn. And that's his disciples is out there, they perhaps, as they were there, right in the darkness and the storm, they were frightened. And if it were the Lord ever come, you know, wondering what was going to happen. But the Lord came. So often, perhaps, you know, we pray and we might think, will my prayers ever be answered? But you know, God, has answered our prayers. In Habakkuk, he said this, Habakkuk 1 verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? So often the psalmists, when we go in the Psalms, you know, we read a psalmist crying out in prayer and think, when will my prayers be answered? You know, in Psalm 88, it says, O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. So a man who's desperate, but, you know, God always answers prayer. Sometimes it may be no, but sometimes it may be delayed. And, you know, God, he did hear. You know, I heard, I was at a church this morning in Hampshire, near my parents' home, and a guy there in his 80s, and he told me, one of his sons, son 56, same age as me, who had come back to the Lord, his son had made a profession of faith when he was 15 years old, but he had turned his back and gone away out into the world. But 3 months ago, his son had come back to the Lord. Well, that father would have kept on praying all those years. You know, never give up in prayer, because God will answer prayer. But sometimes we have to wait, don't we? But then we see, don't we? The Lord, at first they were frightened. They didn't realise it was the Lord. But when they did, and Peter, he wanted to, when he realised it was the Lord, he thought, I can walk on the water. And he said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And so the Lord said, come. And we see Peter walking on the water. That was an act of faith, wasn't it? You know, an impossible thing. We're reminded, aren't we? You know, that with God, all things are possible. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if the Lord asks us to do something, however difficult it is, if he's asked us to do it, then he can enable us and strengthen us. But then, you know, as Peter was walking on the water, what happened? Suddenly he was looking at, he suddenly saw the waves, didn't he? And he started to sink. As often, isn't it? We start to see the problems, don't we? And we start to sink. He took his eyes off the Lord Jesus. And we need to, don't we? We need to keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus. You know, if we take our eyes off the Lord Jesus, we will soon sink, won't we? And you know, Peter, what did he do? He cried out, didn't he? He cried out to the Lord. He said, Lord, save me. You know, just 3 words, a short prayer, one of the shortest prayers in the Bible. Lord, save me. If you're not saved, let me say the most important thing is that you're saved, that you're born again. You know, the Bible tells us that when we die, there's a heaven and there's a hell. It's not a purgatory. It's not sort of curtains, or some people think when you're dead, you're dead. It's not everybody goes to heaven. It's either heaven or hell. You can only go to heaven if you're saved, if your sin has been forgiven. And you know, the most important thing is that you know that you're saved, that you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. You know, the Titanic ship, you know that well, after the Titanic sunk, many people lost their lives, didn't they, as we know. There were two lists outside the offices of the White Star Liner. One list was a list of those known to be saved, and the other list was a list of those known to be lost. Now, on that ship, there was first, second, and third, and fourth class. If you were very rich, you could enjoy the luxury of first-class cabins. But, you know, at the end of the day, after the Titanic had sunk, no one cared whether someone was first class or fourth class. It didn't make any difference. The only thing that mattered was that person saved? Were they rescued? Were they on the list of people known to be saved? Or were they lost? And my friend, you know, whatever you may achieve in life, whatever, however much money you may have, it won't count for anything one day. The only thing that will matter when you stand before God is, are you saved? Are you right with God? Are your sins being forgiven? You know, Peter said, Lord, save me. It was a personal prayer, wasn't it? Me. And you know, each of us, we personally need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's only one way that we can be saved. There's only one way that we can get to heaven. It's not through religion. It's not through good works. It is through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, he died upon the cross to take the punishment for our sins. And we have to own up to our sin. Be prepared to turn from our sin and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Believe that he died in our place, took the punishment for us. If we do that, we can be forgiven. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You can't earn it. What are you putting your confidence in to go to heaven? If it's anything else other than the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will fall short. You know, Peter, as he said, Lord, save me. He didn't say it to the disciples, did he? He said to the Lord, he addressed it to the right person, the one who was able to save him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say, there's only one person that can make you right with God. There's only one person that can save you. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. You know, when Peter said this prayer, there's an urgency with it, isn't there? Lord, save me, because he will. I'm going to sink, I'm going to drown. Lord, save me. And my friend, there's an urgency. You need to be saved because, as I said, we don't know what a day may bring forth. None of us know what may happen. You know, people think, oh, I'll repent one day. I'll get right with God one day. I want to enjoy life and have a good time. But you don't know what's going to happen. Why would you gamble with your soul? Jesus said, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? It's a solemn thing, isn't it? I said there was an urgency in his prayer. But you know, his prayer as well, it was effective, wasn't it? Because what do we read? The Lord immediately reached out to him. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Yes, the Lord saved him. And now here's a wonderful thing. You know, the Lord is willing to save anybody. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what we've done. Things that we're ashamed of, things I'm unashamed of in my life. But it doesn't matter who you are. If you're prepared to own up to your sin and come to the Lord Jesus and put your trust in him, he will save you. He will make you right with God. You can receive that gift of eternal life. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's the Lord Jesus, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, shall not go to hell, but have everlasting life. Yes, you know, it was effective. You know, perhaps we're in trouble as Christians, we have problems, but you know, we can cry out to the Lord. You know, David, in the Psalms, he said this, didn't he? Often he was in problems, wasn't he, when he was being hunted by Saul, who hated him, and he was having to flee for his life, and God would help him, and his life was spared. And he says this, Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. And he goes on and says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. You know, maybe we're sinking in our difficulties. So it's a prayer, someone has said, is like a ring that Queen Elizabeth I, she gave to the Earl of Essex. And she said to him, look, if you're in any distress, just send that ring to me and I will send help to you. So if we send prayer, shoot a prayer up to the Lord, he's there to help us. Call upon me in the day of trouble. And so many of us have experienced that. And so the Lord, he saves Peter, doesn't he? He stretches out his hand and then they get into the boat. And then we read, don't we? Lovely, don't we? In verse 51, don't we? Of Mark's gospel, isn't it? When Christ got into the boat, wasn't it? When he got into that boat, what happened? The wind ceased. See, it showed that he was God, isn't it? He could control the weather. He calmed the storm. I wonder, has he calmed the storm in your life? I wonder, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ got into the boat and there's a picture. Have you invited the Lord Jesus Christ into the boat of your life? You know, I did that when I was 18 years old. My only regret is I wish I'd done it earlier. Let me commend to you my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you never invited the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, if you never trusted him as your saving Lord, do that. You know, the Lord is able to help you. And he's one that he would never, ever let you down. He's that friend who loves at all times, that friend who sticketh closer than a brother. And so if you never called upon the Lord to save you, think of that, what Peter said, Lord, save me. Cry out tonight, you can be saved tonight, you can get right with him. But just make sure that you say, make sure that your sin is forgiven, make sure that you know that you're going to heaven, that you're right with God.